Hi, Calvin. Thank you so much for these talks we are having. We have been talking about basically who are you? Hi, okay. Calvin Abraham, and you've been in school. You discovered that it was sort of boring. You realized that doodling opened your right brain for the understanding, the good notes later that led you to work with communication systems, electronics, and all that kind of stuff. At some point, that got to you, and you stepped out of that through a question of who built the pyramids, or rather, how did they build it? You started to make models out of that. And in the first session, we talked about your story about how you got into this world, and the second, how you got into this exploration. And you explained that. Basically, at some point, you were working, looking at squares, and realized that if you looked at triangles instead, everything fell in place. And it is something that I'd like to ask you more about, because the first episode was about who are you, and thank you for answering that. The second one was, what did you start to look for or look at? And thank you for telling about. Essentially, that is geometry of triangles, equilateral triangles, which brings us then to the third part of the story, your story of what did you find? So you already said it's the equilateral triangles, and once you see how they connect, it gives a geometry which actually gives a wonderful basis for understanding algebra and mathematics, and you even discovered that it connects up to all of the particles which physicists describe. So in a way you have already implicitly described in the previous interview sections that you started to look at how physics hangs together. And I'd just like to ask you to tell in your own words, what did you find?
For sure, Otto, thanks. As you mentioned, the initial discovery was aimed around quarks and subatomic particles and their charge. Once I'd figured out the equilateral geometry itself was the reason we have squared numbers in the mathematics of physics, I then sat down and worked through the basics of the standard model in quantum mechanics. And that allowed me to define, in a very rigid sense, in the terms of paper models, physical, tangible models that you can cut out, print, cut out, and glue together in your own hands, to define between and distinguish between what we call two-dimensional mass energy and three-dimensional matter. What the difference between the two is, and how they come about through interactions.
Calvin, could I just pull the brake on this one, because this is so beautiful what you say here. I just like to ask you to repeat that, because this is so wonderful.
Right, in essence, the geometry of squared numbers allowed me to develop geometric models that you can print out on a paper, on a printer, cut out with a pair of scissors, and with a bit of sticky tape, build physical models of three-dimensional matter, as in all the subatomic particles that we'll never be able to see with our own eyes, and all the basic electromagnetic fields, which are called bosons and photons, but everything that's within the subatomic standard model of physics in quantum mechanics, were then able to be resolved down to a piece of paper full of equilateral triangles that you can print out. And they're available in my work. They're called the tetrionic templates. But you can print these out, and if you ever got the chance to view around my room, you'd see dozens of different versions of these models. From as I've progressed, I've added more and more detail to the equilateral triangle to get it to the stage where you see it now. But in one fell swoop, with an understanding of mass and matter through geometry, and what electromagnetic charge is, how it's made, how it comes about, and its role in creating mass and matter, I completely rewrote the book on quantum mechanics as it stands now. I show where the mathematics comes from in terms of triangles, and how these triangles make all the mass and matter and all the fields. In other words, everything in physics that fills our universe, all from equilateral triangles.
Yeah, when I asked you the question, what did you find?
Everything.
This is great.
Literally everything.
It's even more impressive of what you found is that you see the key to the connectedness of all of the particles that physics describe connected to paper models that everybody can make themselves.
Yeah. And that children in school should be making at a very early age.
So all of the fundamental physics, which nobody seems to understand, Richard Feynman said, anybody who says that they understand quantum physics doesn't understand quantum physics, at least
precisely
so they
right.
say that he said. But and now you say, well, you can understand it all, but basically you need to get out your scissors and start to cut and paste.
Cut and paste.
Yeah.
Because your mind, even though when you know it's a triangle, your mind will still play tricks with you for the first year. As you put these triangles together, you'll discover things about them that your mind has to be retrained in spatial geometry, as in what side does what when it comes together. It takes a while, and I always encourage using the models. A, it's good fun and it's good practice, but B, it reinforces and trains your mind as to how these triangles come together.
That is really wonderful that you mentioned that, because essentially you can even say that what you found was not the paper models and not how all of the cosmic forces in physics and all the particles interconnect, but that if you use your right brain, it really starts to work.
It does.
And I would at some point like to take you up on your invitation, which you implicitly put out, that if we could look around in your room at all your models, that maybe at some point we could actually take you up on that invitation, that you could guide us around to your room to actually look at all those models and that you explain them. And I imagine that would just be more than one interview session. But that for another time. For now, essentially, the three things suddenly come together. It's about the paper triangles that everybody can make. It's about the particles of physics, which everybody can then understand. It's the way the right brain workings are needed to be able to understand that. But apparently, it seems that you found something else as well, which shows up in the beauty of your presentations, because you have colors, you have shapes, you have forms, you have equations, and in your presentations, by the way, thanks for that. I know it's a lot of work, and I know that it is really wonderful to make it freely available like you do, but those presentations are wonderful. So there is something else that you found as well, it seems, which is let's call it the beauty of mathematics, or in this case, the beauty of physics. The colors, the shapes, they all have become as connected as the particles in physics. I'd really like if you say some more about what happened at that level.
For sure. What happened was, as I developed quantum mechanics, obviously, as was the case with going from square geometries to triangular geometries, I learned things and I applied it to physics and what physics was telling me, both in physics itself generally and in the mathematics, and refined my model. And just like I went from going 1, 2, 3 to north, electric, south in the charges of the triangles, I discovered that as I was doing chemistry, it suddenly occurred to me that the spectral lines of the rainbow and of elements as we heat them up go according as per the rainbow, the spectral color lines, the red, orange, yellow, green, blue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that, and that's how nature presents it to our eyes, and that's how it should be followed. So I then changed all my work so I could encode the as the number of triangles increased by their squared numbers. So as it went 1, 4, 9, 16, 25, 36 triangles, I then lined that up with the color codes, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, into 8 steps, 9 if you count black, and 10 if you count brown as 0. And that's became the basis of what I call the tetrionic color code. Obviously, my work in electrical engineering, we color code a lot of things, resistor values, the way we do our schematics, we put color coding on them to identify wires one from the other. So that paid off, and the way it really paid off was that suddenly I had insights that I could apply just from a color perspective to all my illustrations. So whereas I'd started with purely a geometry, black and white drawings, with a little bit of color, I suddenly could color code the energy levels according to the rainbow, and I could then go back and color code the electric and magnetic fields so they could be easily identified, as well as the various physical properties like force, velocity, mass, momentum, are all color-coded throughout my work. So if you want to read my work and you're looking for something that has an energy level of 2, you look for orange color-coding, things that are shaded orange, will instantly let you know that you're looking at something with 4 triangles in it. Or if you want to look through physics and only understand how velocity relates to linear momentum, you look for pink arrows. All the pink arrows in my work relate to velocity or linear momentum. And there is literally, after 5 years of work, layer upon layer upon layer of information in all these illustrations. You can go through and learn the basic geometry. You can go through and learn about energy levels. Or you can go through and learn about the relationship between mass and energy, or mass and velocity, all these things in physics that up until now have been mathematical formulas on a page suddenly now have shape and color, which makes it a great learning tool, in my mind at least. But most people are coming back with the same comment: the colors and the shapes jump out, and it makes the learning process so much easier.
Yeah, I'd like to connect it up to 2 ideas. One of them is called the Twilight Language of Tibet. Actually, it connects up for me also to a dream which I had, in which I was looking at a language system, which basically a graphic image symbol system. In the dream, it actually was based on the symbols of astrology, to make something clear to me, having different colors. And every color had its different level of meaning. So for me, this was very logical to see when I recognize that in what you do. And in the Tibetan Twilight language, it is actually a language of the transition between life and death, between the physical and the mind, spirit at that level, and that the only way you can see the transition between them is that of, let's call it, the rotation of the photon spin throughout its quantum tetrahedron angles. That might be quite a mouthful for some people, But basically, a photon can have different directions and they will have different colors. And in the Tibetan system, they know that, that if you want to turn something inside out, you have to rotate through those colors. So at one level, you see that this color coding is really important, because it shows how you can go from one level to another across boundary. The other thing you mentioned is that it is all about layers within layers, and that of course is exactly what we find in the body, where one cell, the first cell, the zygote, unfolds again and again and again, and each cell division, which is a cell decision, will create a new layer in the system. And so, in a way, if you imagine a cell represented by a triangle or a tetrahedron, then a cell division would be a tetrahedron doubling. Uh-huh. And then everything you have shown as tetrahedra connected up would be able to represent the whole dynamic of cell divisions. And yeah, that's where I really was baffled with seeing in what you do what I've been looking at in cell division processes, and how consciousness works and how logic works within that and all that kind of stuff. And in a way, for many years I've been looking for what you have found with that clarity, logicality, that coloredness, that the simplicity of your findings. And I'd like to come back to your findings, because I can imagine that when you found it, suddenly your reality is not the same for yourself anyhow. Because this is, earlier I said, it's like you look through the keyhole and find yourself on the other side. So what happened to you while you were doing this work?
I very much felt like Alice in Wonderland. I thought I'd taken the wrong pill, and surely sooner or later, some piece of evidence or some way that I wouldn't be able to apply my work, I'd find some stumbling block that would be impassable, and I'd crash and burn. But after a little while of having done the quantum mechanics work, I decided, well, the only way you can possibly ever put your mind at rest, and bear in mind my background is that I love to go at a problem until I solve it. I said to myself, the only way you're going to prove whether this actually works is if you can explain chemistry, completely separate to what most people think of as physics and quantum mechanics. Chemistry is a field in its own, but it has things that physics has to explain and has attempted to explain for a long time, but it's still a separate field into itself. So I thought, well, here's a go. I know what the atom looks like and all the subatomic particles. If my theory is to be believed and understood and tested, I must be able to explain chemistry, how the atoms come together, how they form molecules, the periodicity of the elements comes from, what they look like, because I have a model of the atom now. I should be able to build a model of any element, no matter how big. So I sat down, and that was a big undertaking. That took the best part of a year and a half. And at times I left it to do some work on electrical engineering. But I persevered with it. I made a few major corrections to atomic theory, which are highlighted in the book, and came out with the solution. In the end, I knew that there was exactly 120 periodic elements. I sat down and I committed myself to the job. So I did a model of every single element for all their atomic energy levels. And then I did another set of models for all 120 elements for all the atomic orbitals, or within the elements, which is all the Schrodinger numbers, the quantum numbers, if you like, which is everything you know about an atom, and discovered a few exciting things along the way. We've since, with the help of another gentleman by the name of René Cormier, developed physical 3D models in Google SketchUp CAD program, where you can view these models not just on a piece of paper with the colors that I've drawn, but as 3D models that you can rotate in any direction and see all their features. But having nailed quantum mechanics and then chemistry, I then had to apply it again to my favorite field, which is my background training of electrical engineering, and tackle quantum electrodynamics, Feynman's favorite topic. So I tackled his questions and wrote another book on quantum electrodynamics. And then I had to tackle the big one, which was unifying Newtonian gravity with Einstein's general relativity. And that was my fourth book, which is quantum cosmology, where I unify it, building on all the knowledge that I developed in the other three books, and then capped it off with a final book where I just basically connect the, I call it geometrics. It's where the geometry meets mathematics, and I show everyone how all the famous formulas of math and all the basic concepts of math in physics can be shown in lights, in the light of equilateral triangles. So in the end, I have a theory of everything. There is one book remaining, and that's biology, where I cover DNA, RNA, and consciousness, things like that.
Yeah, and when you say you just did that in just 5 years,
yes.
A lot of people will not understand how much time you put into that, because that basically means that you do that full time also while you sleep.
There wasn't much sleep. The thing about this work is that having discovered this geometric key, there was so much to explore, as I mentioned in the first discussion. And I went at it like any explorer. I grabbed the machete and carved my way through the forest, attacking everything in sight. Had a basic rough out of the answers I had, and then I went back and polished it and refined it. And that went on for a while, but as I did it, I did these other books as well. And information from chemistry flowed back into refining quantum mechanics. And things in quantum mechanics explain things in QED, which explain things for gravity. And in the end, all five books all help and reinforce each other as the knowledge grew and improved. But for a long time, it was literally 4 or 5 hours sleep at night, because my head continually buzzed with new revelations, new ideas, new ways that things could work. Sometimes I get frustrated and I'd find a dead end, only to have to go back and reassess what the physical model was telling me. Whenever I struck a dead end that I couldn't explain, like the shape of atoms in chemistry, sitting down for a few days with physical models of atoms, putting them together, showed me the answer. The model always trumped the math. And in the end, we have what we have, and as much as I'm loath to use the term, it really is a theory of everything. It explains the smallest to the largest.
I'd like to ask you to elaborate on something, because few people do not realize the process of science. I call it science in the making. And everything you talk about is a wonderful example of the dynamic of science in the making. And so many people do not understand, do not appreciate, do not even know the relationship between this crafting of understanding, the sciencing, with the way it feels and the way your body feels and your body functions. You just refer to that, the buzz that kept you awake. Maybe you could talk a bit more about that feeling, because the question what you found also extends to how what you found within you in experiencing this dynamic. And it's definitely at that level of that something that keeps you busy and in a way folds you and unfolds you. It's not a knowledge that happens. It is in your whole body. It's in your whole life. It is it's like a digestive process. But few people know about it, and I would really like if you could help people understand what you experienced.
For sure. The first wasn't so much an experience, but the first feeling was that it was right. Don't ask me why, but I just knew triangles were explaining things that other things couldn't. So there was this self-confidence, this absolute belief that I was onto something. And even though it was a gut feeling and it could have been proven wrong at any stage, I just knew I had to commit and persevere with wherever it took me. And this happens in science a lot of times. There are a lot of dead ends that people spend their lives chasing. There's current theories that would be proven completely wrong or completely corrected with the work I've done, that people have felt equally passionate about and driven to the same extremes that I was. The only difference between themselves and myself was that I had this insight that related equilateral geometry to the problems. Once that passion was up and running, and it didn't take long, there becomes this almost obsessive drive to see how far it'll take you. It's completely addictive. It's like a drug. It just rejuvenates your body even when you're completely exhausted. You'll go to sleep dreaming about problems, wake up with answers. Sometimes wake up feeling dreadful because you haven't got the answers. But your brain goes into a state of hyperstimulation, because in my case anyway, there were so many things I could explain. I didn't always have the right initial answer, but I knew that if I stuck with my initial gut feeling and let the passion take over and poured the effort into, I was confident at all stages that I'd get the answer, that I'd find how to make things work, or find out how they really worked, and then re-educate myself, even as to how Tetrionics works. There are some things I thought in the early days of Tetrionics as to how things worked that I've completely disproven in the course of its own growth and refinement. But I just liken it, as I say, to an explorer that's suddenly discovered that outside the picket fence there's a whole new country called Africa to explore. Where do you go? What do you head for? What do you claim is yours? The choices are all there, but you've got to have the dedication and the belief that you can pick up that machete, grab your water canteen, and just go for it. Map it out as you go, and at the end of it, come back with a map and say, this is what I've discovered. I've spent the last 5-10 years doing it, but here it is. Follow me if you want. If it makes sense, come along and colonize. If it doesn't, show me where you think I'm wrong and allow me to explain. But it's an invigorating process, and I can see why science is such a great field for those that want to get out there and find something that nobody else knows and apply to it. But sadly, part of the nature of the beast is that some people spend their lives looking for something and don't discover something like what I have.
Yes, in a way, this is a very nice point to remark that we are now at the end of the other half hour of the recording. For this question of what did you find, and what you described is precisely that you were able to connect something of knowledge with something within you, and you actually could feel the fueling of the new insight feeding more connections into you. And what you described is so very nicely showing what we actually experience in the body when one cell unfolds and more cells come, in the same way insight unfolds and more insight comes, but also the counterpart, that when there are more cells, more units, the unity becomes more meaningful.
Yeah.
And in what you describe, the connectedness of all the findings shows that, if I reinterpret a bit what you just said, you discover more as a result of which you see that the old meaning you gave it wasn't going far enough. You weren't wrong, but there was just more meaning to it. And I'd like to at this point summarize what I think I've heard in what you said. In your exploration of what did you find, basically you found a geometry, a very simple shape which everybody can understand, everybody can play around with, everybody can put cut and paste, and everybody can apply to what you did, making little models of atoms, and then you discovered that you could also use that for molecules, you could even use that for matter. And you described all of that, as I said before, that's wonderful work. I know it's a lot of work, and also it's a beautiful work, as a result of which people can start doing it themselves. Of course, that's a much nicer way to do it, because then they see the questions and they can better understand the answers which you found. And what you have found is that from the triangles you can understand the atomics, you can understand the molecular and the chemistry, you can understand the biology and the consciousness. You're still writing that down.
Yeah.
But as a whole, you discovered that it is very simple, and you can experience it in your own body. You call that the revitalizing, the rejuvenation process. So, in what you just said, in half an hour of what you found, basically there's so much, but at the same time it's so simple. Maybe you just have a phrase to just round it off, and after that, if you're willing, I'd like to go to the fourth part of the interview, on how can others use that.
For sure. I mean, I often liken this, in summary, to Christopher Columbus sitting in Europe, where everyone in Europe were comfortable that they discovered most of the land masses. There was probably a shortcut to get over to where they want to go in the East Indies. But for all intents and purposes, most of the world had been mapped out. And then on a gut feeling, he decided to sail the other way. And in doing so, he discovered America, came back and said, basically, hey guys, look what I've discovered. Come and make of it as you will. And we all know America, Canada, South America, all developed from there, good and bad. But it's just the same with this. All I have done is gone the other way to what everyone else had been thinking in science, written down what I've discovered along the way, and now I'm just saying, please have a look at the map, make of it as you want, but if you can apply it, please do so, because there are people out there with way better skills in mathematics, much more knowledge in chemistry, and more access to better equipment in experimental physics and astronomy than I'll ever have, that can put this basic understanding of how everything works to its full use. And then we'll have it'll be a renaissance in not only science itself, but the understanding of how science comes about and the physics.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Essentially, it's a power tool to integrate and unify the knowledge that we already have, so that we can understand it in a more full manner.
Yeah.
I'd really like it if we can continue about that in the next session. So it's okay with you if we close this one off, hang up, and that I immediately come back to you to ask a question of how can others use this?
Not a problem, Otto.
Great, thank you. I'll come right back in a moment.